Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Welcome back. It's 4:11. Do you have a graduate? Then you're more familiar with Gen Z than we are. But we are about to get an education.
Gen Z. Yes. Grew up with the internet, mm-hmm. Right?
That's right. Absolutely.
I think it's anybody born after 97 or 98.
There you go.
Is in Gen Z. So different expectations, mm-hmm. In many cases a different outlook.
Mm-hmm.
Lived through, 9/11, lived through the downturn in 08, and has really flavored, I think, in many respects, mm-hmm. that generation. But they have different expectations, and I'm anxious to hear our next guest here coming up in a minute or so.
But first,
it is our sworn duty to give away cash. Jordana Green.
Mm-hmm.
Now's your chance to win $1,000 in the 12K a day National Cash Contest. Just text WONDER to 72881. The word again is WONDER.
It's a great book.
WONDER. I wonder if I'm going to win $1,000.
I hope you do.
Another shot, 512 on the only station where you can win up to 12K a day. And here are the Twins. 6.5 games out in front. News Talk 830 WCCO.
Our next guest is Alexandra Hoops. She is a Baker Tilly campus recruiter, and she's here to explain to us these new people that you are going to be hiring, seeing around your office, and having to either manage, or maybe at some point they will be managing you, Gen Z. Alexandra, welcome to the program.
Thank you. Thank you so much for your time. I really appreciate being here and having the opportunity.
You got it. So are we right? Gen Zs were born in 1997 or later, correct?
So Gen Z, yeah, around that time, I would say probably even 1995 to about 2012 is
okay.
That Gen Z range.
Okay.
Where millennials are kind of in that 1980 to 1994 range.
So have we already labeled these young people? I feel bad. We gave the millennials such a bad rap.
I know. We have labeled them. Unfortunately, it's their turn to take the stage.
Some heat off the millennials. So describe, if you had to give a definition of this next generation, describe them for us.
Yes, no, that's a great question. So I feel like the best way to kind of encompass Gen Z is the fact that, yes, they're kind of stemming off of millennials, and yes, the baby boomers have actually produced the Gen Z or the millennials, depending upon their particular age. But I think Gen Z workers will want what everyone else wants, but they'll be the ones that actually will ask for it and will get it. So it's true that we've seen that in millennials, but Gen Z will actually take more of that initiative to go for it. So they'll look at things more and emphasize more financial security, flexibility, and workplaces that really reflect the growing diversity of their schools and their peer groups currently.
Alexandru, I'm actually hiring a couple of WeatherTech businesses in the southwest suburbs, and we have a chance to interview some of these amazing developers that fall into the Gen Z age group. And work-life balance, very, very important things that maybe my generation took for granted.
Yeah.
They do not take for granted, and they really do have different expectations when it comes to achieving that balance.
Oh, for sure. I actually think the top thing that Gen Z workers will ask for, especially upfront in an interview, is remote work arrangements or that flexibility to work remotely, which is something that the baby boomers, it's like unheard of for them. But actually, the Gen Z workers will get that, and they will ask for that. And if they don't, they won't take job opportunities for that primary reason, and they will move on until they find that opportunity.
Let's talk a little bit about personality, because now they'll have to interact with the millennials, who were really very different. I mean, I'm a Gen Xer, and I guess we're probably closer to the baby boomers than we are the millennials. The millennials were really vocal in the workplace. They were disruptors. They changed it up. They wanted something totally new and different, and I respect that about them. How will they work then together with Gen Z, and are they that different?
You know, I don't think they are all that different. I think the real difference is the fact that the millennials were able to see and experience not only having the internet not take off quite yet, it was still in its infancy stages, to now it's full blown, everything is the internet. Right. Whereas Gen Z actually did not quite experience what it's like to have a floppy disk, or now they know of everything.
What?
They
sounds like a medical ailment, right?
They don't know what it's like to experience that when you're on the computer and on the internet at one point in time in the 90s, you could not use your house phone at the same time. The buzz would go off. So that's, I think, the major difference, is that Gen Z literally have only ever experienced everything revolved around the internet, whereas millennials were able to see that transition, which makes them different.
Well, hiring is still tough. Finding smart people that want to work and want to work hard and represent your business, I think there are I know a lot of employers out there, that's their number one gripe. The economy is doing well overall, and finding and retaining great people. So I think a lot of our listeners may be hiring folks from Gen Z. What advice would you have, Alexandra, for people that are interested in putting their best foot forward when it comes to interviewing Gen Z?
Yeah, that is a great question. So actually, one thing, especially I work with interns and new hires at our company, and particularly one of the biggest piece of advice I can tell them is, every person that you interact with, whether it's your mother, your neighbor, your best friend, your college roommate, your employer, or the client that you worked on while you were at an internship, those are all connections and hidden gems for those students. Whether they realize it or not, that individual can make an introduction for them and on behalf of them so that they can run with that introduction. They need to take that initiative to say, hey, can you make the introduction for me? But then from there, I'm going to run with it, and I'm going to own it, and I'm going to make that start my career, whether it's an internship or a full-time opportunity.
Because, you know, we've been hearing some bad things about this generation, and I don't know that it's about them or it's about their parents, that parents will call professors or parents will call a possible employer or a teacher and interfere on behalf of them. I don't know that that's such a reflection on Gen Z as it is on
their parents. Yeah,
that's right.
No, I 100% agree. There is clearly a fine line between supporting your children and helping them get their career started and stifling their growth. I mean, parents should be able to say, okay, I'm gonna be in the front seat with you until you take off with your career and help you get there. But you have to let them go at one point and let them get there. And then the parents go in the backseat and be able to watch how proud they are of their children, rather than showing up to the interviews or going to the career fairs and those sort of things. They need to let their children take the initiative. They can make the introduction, just like I had referenced.
Sure.
Make that introduction for your child. Say, hey, maybe, you know, where they currently work, they have a friend there that there's a company their child wants to work at. Ask them, can you make that introduction for my child? But then once they make the introduction, their job is done. They need to stop and they need to step back and say, okay, I helped you. Now it's your turn to run with it and take that initiative to own your career.
So the parents of these Gen Zers, maybe they're 20 now, maybe they're a little younger. So their parents are like 45. So their parents are me.
They're your generation.
Yeah, so their parents
are
the Gen Xers that are screwing this up.
Huh.
Right. Because our parents didn't care. They were like, get the heck out of my house. I'm not helping you. What? I don't know anybody. And we're like, well, we could have used a little help, Mom. Thanks. And maybe we're overdoing it with our kids and we're screwing it up.
Well, and I think a lot of that has to do with, think about it. So you're worried as a parent, right, that for the first time ever, that the fact that children, the Gen Z right now, there's a 50-50% chance that they'll be less prosperous prosperous than their parents. Mm-hmm. And that's why the parents start to helicopter, because they basically want to prevent their children from ever making a mistake.
Yeah.
But that's how you learn, right? That's how you learn.
Exactly. Making those mistakes, that pain and struggle, teaches them valuable life lessons. Unless if they don't experience that, they'll never have those lessons, and that'll stifle their growth long term.
Learning how to fail forward. My biggest fear, Alexandria, we have run out of letters. Gen X, Gen Z. we're going to have to use the Greek alphabet.
I was saying the Greek alphabet's next.
Yeah.
Right. Gen Alpha. Alexandra Hoops, Baker Tilly campus recruiter. Alexandra, thanks for chatting with us. We appreciate the insight.
Good info. Yes, thank you, Alexandra.
Thank you so much for your time and the opportunity. I appreciate it.
You bet.
You know, it's interesting. I mean, we can't blame the generation. I don't blame the kids. I always look at the parents. How did we screw them up? And this is my generation that's having these kids. You know, my kids are, I started a little bit later, so mine are on the younger side. But, you know, the new college graduates, and if they're screwed up, that's on us. We did that.
Well, with the internet, with apps now, we can peer into our kids and see their lives like our parents couldn't do with us, right? So we have visibility into their lives.
That's very true.
And that makes it easier to go in and meddle and tweak and try to improve things. And often we kind of mess things up. So step away from the computer.
A little bit of weather therapy when we return after the break.
So, 2 out of 3 ain't bad. 2 out of the 3 days this holiday weekend look pretty good, Saturday and Sunday.
We'll take it because the rest of it sucks.
Low to mid-70s Saturday and Sunday, probably mid to upper 70s, sticky on Memorial Day. Could be a severe weather outbreak here on Monday, and we'll keep fine-tuning the forecast. But, it looks pretty quiet Saturday and Sunday. Couple of things here I wanted to mention. First of all, we are enjoying the 11th wettest spring on record.
Enjoying?
Okay.
Poor choice. Using that word very liberally.
Poor choice of words. I'm trying to. It's a glass half full. No.
No. I mean, everything.
The glass is overflowing.
I just didn't even buy flowers yet, so I can't even be grateful for the watering.
This is the what? The what?
Okay.
The watering.
Just do the weather. I'll sell like
it. Wuthering Heights. Watering.
Stop.
We're 2 inches away from breaking into the top 10 wettest springs. Sorry, George.
Thanks.
You know I love you.
Thanks.
I don't understand you, but I love you. Speaking Portuguese. Today marks the anniversary. Laura mentioned this. 8 years ago today, an EF1 tornado, winds up to 110 miles an hour, struck north Minneapolis. One person lost their life. Extensive tree damage, structural damage. It touched down in St. Louis Park. And then it moved through North Minneapolis. It was on the ground 14 miles before dissipating over Blaine after causing minor damage to the Anoka County Airport. And again, at one point, the tornado was half a mile wide. And again, disproving the myth that, hey, I live in a city, tornadoes can't hit me here, or they can't cross a river or can't cross a hill. Yeah, of course they can. So again, that was an EF1 tornado. Since then, it's been relatively quiet. There have been 130 tornadoes, Jor, over the last 5 days. The majority of those touchdowns, Kansas and Missouri. Last night, though, one hit in Adair, Iowa, west central Iowa. That was 150 yards wide, 130 mile an hour winds. And today marks the anniversary of the Joplin tornado. I remember. You remember this from Weather Nation days?
I was working for you at the time.
That was unbelievable. One of the most devastating tornadoes in America's history, killed 158 people. Over 1,000 were in the city of Joplin, Missouri, in southwestern Missouri. At one point, it was a mile wide.
We sent one of our meteorologists that was working for us at the time down to Joplin to just walk around and get, you know, the lay of the land and report live back for Weather Nation. And I remember, and he called me on the phone privately, and he's like, you've never seen anything like this. He said, it's like the end of the world.
There was nothing standing.
It was just such devastation everywhere he looked that it was unrecognizable that there used to be homes and life there.
And that word unrecognizable, the tornado, Jura, was so big, it didn't look like a tornado.
Amazing.
It looked like the entire thunderstorm descended to the ground. I mean, there was no funnel. It was a wedge, again, a mile wide. So people didn't even... It didn't click that, oh, my God, there's a tornado there. It didn't look like a classic tornado. It was that big. And lastly, what tornado warning? Last night, the St. Louis Blues hosted the San Jose Sharks Game 6 of the Western Conference Finals. A win would put the franchise into the Stanley Cup final for the first time since 1970. So St. Louis fans could taste it. And when the tornado warnings went off, when the sirens went off, you know what they did?
What'd they do?
They remained in their seats. We're not going anywhere. Oh, and they kept playing the game. Fans handled the warnings like hockey players handling losing a tooth. They shook it off and kept pushing forward, and they were rewarded in their efforts and courage and stupidity and staying in their seats as the Blues beat the Sharks 4-1 to advance to the Stanley Cup final. Yeah, you know, if it was me, I would go into the concession area, which is usually concrete reinforced.
Sure,
you could ride out the tornado there. I don't think I want to be in the stands, but I'd want to be maybe the beer concession. I'd be standing in line there checking my Doppler on my phone.
So a guy shoots himself in his private area.
Oh.
Does not go to the hospital because he's afraid of getting arrested. Finally does. Then something slips out from another part of his body. It's a bad day. Hear more about it when we go beyond the headlines next.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
You think you're having a bad day? Ooh, boy. This guy's out of Canada. He's a convicted felon. He actually shot himself in the genitals. Problems just began there. The pistol was tucked into his front pocket, sending the bullet through, that part, and into his thigh. Okay, he didn't want to go direct to the hospital. He instructed his girlfriend, and I guess she listened because she's smart, to take him to a park, to take him somewhere where he gave the pistol to a friend because he's a 13-time convicted felon and it's illegal for him to have a gun. Yeah, you think? So, as doctors, then she took him to the hospital. As doctors and nurses performed surgery, a balloon containing marijuana slipped out of his, like, the opposite of where the bullet went, like, just around the corner from where the bullet went.
We can use our imagination.
So there you go. Just
yes,
use
I think
your imagination
we know.
There. Yeah. Uh-huh. So there you go. So just around the corner, a balloon full of marijuana slips out. Yeah, so that's another issue. Then, after he was in the hospital, they took him to prison after he was recovering. During the strip search, another balloon of marijuana slipped out from that same place.
Wow.
Guess there was a lot of space up there. He was arrested and charged with possession of a controlled substance, and he's in a correctional facility. The legal troubles continue. But you know what? You're having a better day than that guy.
Ugh.
Bad choices right there. Hashtag bad choices.
Bad choices.
Wow.
Oh, okay. Washington State just became the first state in the U.S. to legalize human composting. Not humans
what?
Who compost, but...
Like human bodies?
Compost that's
parts?
Made up. Yeah.
Come on.
Under the new law, people in Washington State can now choose to have their body turned into soil after their death.
Okay.
This is an alternative to cremation and burials, a practical option in cities where land for graveyards is scarce and expensive. At the end of the composting, loved ones are given the soil, and they can be used in planting flowers, vegetables, or trees. The bill was signed into law by Governor Jay Inslee on Tuesday. Quote, recomposition, that's what they call it, Jor, recomposition offers an alternative to embalming and burial or cremation that is natural, safe, sustainable, will result in significant savings in carbon emissions and land use.
It does sound very environmentally friendly.
The body is placed in a hexagonal steel container filled with alfalfa, wood chips, and straw. The container is shut. And the body decomposes naturally within 30 days.
Oh, so you don't burn and there are no emissions.
No. But it creates two wheelbarrows worth of soil.
Wheelbarrows, that's a lot.
Gives new meaning to soiling oneself.
Okay. All right. Ba-dum-bum. The people in Badnawar, northern India, took to the streets to demand action after a monkey went on a rampage through the town.
Ooh.
It was a 9-day reign of terror. And he even killed a man. A 60-year-old man succumbed to his injuries of the monkey. No anti-rabies treatments were available, and that made the townspeople even angrier.
Oof.
Yes, police commissioners flew into town. Rabies medication was rushed into the area, and the people were protesting in the streets. Now, this incident comes just a week after another Indian monkey took a bank worker hostage. Hmm. And by the way, there's video of the monkey on the bank worker. Customers watched the incident as the monkey was humping the bank worker's head a few times before leaving.
Who hasn't done that?
What is going on with the monkeys in India?
The bankers. Pick on the bankers, huh? Maybe he got a bad loan. They called his loan.
They did.
Huh? He didn't like the interest rates?
Oh, my God.
I'll teach you.
Chamber of Commerce has their hands. Oh, brutal.
So, wow. Okay, the weather sucks, but we don't have rabid monkeys in the streets
humping
our heads. Yeah. I give thanks for that, among other things. Switzerland just launched a concept VIP bedroom cinema.
Oh, boy.
A movie theater. This VIP bedroom area of the cinema complex looks like an ordinary bedroom, except it's filled with 11 freshly made double beds facing the screen.
So you all lay in different beds?
Well, yeah, you lay in bed with the person you came with. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I think.
This concept makes me a little nervous.
Thinking about this now. Designed to entice consumers away from Netflix and back to the cinema, back to the movie theaters, it offers a cozy, home-like movie experience.
Except with the people in the bed next to
well,
you maybe
there is
having
that.
Sex during the movie.
No, I don't think so. No, they frown on that. Mm-mm. They're Swiss.
It's really, I mean, it isn't that far off. You know, you go to a lot of these places with the Barco Lounger deals.
Yeah, you're reclined
so
far.
You're reclining, and that middle arm will come up. I mean, it's essentially all it is anyway.
Yeah. Do they change the sheets on the beds?
They do. The beds are freshly made after every film screening. The hygiene aspect is very important to us, according to the CEO. And he rejected the idea, Jor, that the hall will be used for immoral or inappropriate activity.
You think?
It is funny that that's exactly where your brain went, though.
Immoral and inappropriate in all sorts of ways. I'll own that.
Those are your better qualities.
I know. Time for one more. All right. Speaking of inappropriate, a model with a 59-inch behind begs doctors for help after illegal fillers injected at plumping parties left her with a discolored and a lumpy bottom. So, you know, big bottoms, thick bottoms are all the rage, a la Kim Kardashian, Cardi B, Nicki Minaj, all of those. So people are trying to get bigger bums. So this woman, she claims she's an Instagram influencer, whatevs, 22 years old. She got risky fillers at plumping parties. Whatever, I guess in Miami, this is all the rage. You can go to parties at somebody's house, somebody, either a doctor or whomever has access to these injections comes and just pumps up your bottom. Well, now she says it's gone lumpy, it's gone flat in some areas, and it has gone awry. She says people are making fun of her on the street and leaving nasty comments on her Instagram. You think? She says the cost of her butt is more than about $20,000.
Oh.
She said, I paid that to get this butt, but now I just want to get a procedure to remove all the fillers. It's going to be another $20,000.
If only there was an injection that could make your brain bigger.
Oh, my gosh.
Huh?
Again, hashtag bad choices.
Bad choices.
Wow.
Okay. Jor, it is 4:46, Wicks and Jewelers time, from timeless and classic to rare and exotic. Wicks and showcases an impressive collection of the most spectacular gemstones known to man. Paul and Jordana and Michael Max and Mayak, Minnesota Intercollegiate Athletic Conference, big decision, involuntarily removed, kicked out. Mike Max, what is really going on with St. Thomas? They win too many games and
it's
too many sports?
It's complicated, as they say.
Well, is it?
Yeah, so see, you got St. Thomas sitting there. The perception is that, you know, and they do, they win a lot of games and have for a long time. And they've got this big enrollment. And in a non-scholarship conference, meaning, you know, athletes don't get scholarships, the biggest enrollment can win because you're going to have more numbers and more kids going up for teams. If everybody had scholarships, then it wouldn't matter. You had the same amount of scholarships, you'd go there to play sports. So that's part of it. Number two, they've been very aggressive, St. Thomas has, about the way they've marketed themselves, built themselves up. And with that, I've said before, you attract good people. You have good coaches, you know. You have people want to come there and coach. I remember Dennis Denning at Creighton was coaching high school baseball there, St. Thomas alum, and the only place that he would leave Creighton for was St. Thomas. Well, he took the job, and they said he could never win, you know, national titles in the North in baseball, and what did he do? Won national titles for St. Thomas as the coach because they were able to attract a coach that was that good to St. Thomas. So it's more complicated than just, well, they're the biggest, they're winning too much. Well, part of the reason they're winning so much is that they're aggressive about the way they go about, you know, recruiting coaches, getting the right people to come there and everything else. Now, they've had some lopsided football scores for sure, and that shows up big. And I think that gets a lot of people's attention. And I think that there's a feeling about the presence to say, you can do that. You can score as many points as you want. You can do whatever you want. You have that right as a football program, whatever. You can build it. You can do whatever you want. You have that right. Mm-hmm. But we have the right to cap enrollment and do what we want. So I also believe, and I believe this is the thing to watch now. I believe that in many respects, this is going to be a great opportunity for St. Thomas. And this is why.
Could they transition to Division One? That's expensive, right?
Yeah, it's all expensive. But in the alumni there, I think that there's a group that wanted them to stay in the MIAC because it's the MIAC, and the MIAC is a really cool conference and all those things. I think there's another group saying, hey, it'd be cool if you get moved up. Well, now you've been kicked out of the conference, so you don't have to apologize to anybody. You don't have to go back to the alumni and say, we chose to leave the MIAC. So now you can get a groundswell of, let's go, man. Let's find something really cool to do with this. And I think that there are people over there that have been eyeing a long time a possible Division One. Now, what I'm told is you have to go Division Two 8 years before you can apply to be Division One, except unless there is some unforeseen circumstances you can appeal, and this might be it. So you could go non-scholarship in football, scholarship in other sports. There's all kinds of variables that you could go with underneath that. Augustana's going Division One right now, you know, and that's a much smaller school.
It takes a lot of money.
Let me tell you, though, Jar, there's a lot of schools other than Division One that have a lot less money and access to a lot less money than St. Thomas has. St. Thomas is a well-fortified, they market well, you know, they have big donors, they have lots of stuff. And if this awakens that giant a little bit as well, they could get some even more. So I wouldn't be surprised if long-term there's some people over there that are thrilled with this decision.
We're going to speak with Mark Dienhart a little bit later at 5:35 to talk more about this. Hey, Mikey, Twins again tonight. They won. Oh, we're almost out of time. 8-3 last night, and up again tonight at 7:30.
Yep, here we go again. Good night for them last night.
Absolutely.
You're the best.
Michael Max, thanks for breaking that down.
You bet.
I think I get it now.
And there's a lot to discuss around that, why it happened, how it happened, what's going to happen next. And we are going to speak with Mark Dienhart. That's coming up at 5:30. At 5:10, the laws surrounding rape and sexual assault and how the Deny Justice series affected them. Next.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.